listening to Central Time here on the Ideas Network. I'm Rob Ferret. Coming up, we'll talk to an artist who's highlighting the threats facing the Great Lakes with her work that uses items found on Wisconsin's shoreline. First, we're in our fall member drive. Your support is the foundation of funding for Wisconsin Public Radio programs. It's the largest piece. It's what makes the Ideas Network your go-to place for great discussions. That's why Judith Sears Poisson is with me to encourage you to make your gift in support of the programs that you count on at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
I'm very happy to report that we met our goal of 15 Yay. Gifts last hour. Thank you so much for everyone who has contributed this hour, new goal. We have a goal of 20 gifts. These hourly goals are important. They help us stay on track financially so we can keep the discussion going strong on the Ideas Network. So give now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
A large slice of funding for Wisconsin Public Radio programs. The biggest slice is listener support. So while all of our funding sources, state and federal governments and businesses, they are all important, your contribution really does make a huge difference. Wisconsin Public Radio is the amazing and varied service that it is thanks to your support. Keep independent, high-quality programs on the air when you give now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Today, Alliant Energy is partnering with Wisconsin Public Radio to provide hunger relief in Wisconsin. They'll match every dollar raised through the food bank thank you gifts up to $5,000. This drive, you can provide hunger relief right in your area. Just ask for one of the food bank thank you gifts.
Thank you so much for making a difference for your neighbors and the WPR programs you love at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
I'm going to go out on a limb and say that every time you listen to WPR, you learn something new. Whether it's about the news of the day, a personal anecdote, history, pop culture, there's always something to spark your curiosity and your interest.
Listening to WPR reminds you that life is fascinating and learning makes life richer. That engagement that you feel when you listen, that is worth your support. Give now at WPR.org or call 888-202-2552.
WPR is probably a preset at home, in your car, maybe your home and your car. Maybe you wake up to it. Maybe you go to bed listening to it. I'm betting that you listen to WPR a lot. Help pay for the station and the programs you enjoy so much by becoming a member today.
Make the switch from someone who listens to someone who listens and contributes. You can start with a gift of $10 or $20 a month at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Very happy to see that three people have already given since the top of the hour. Thank you so much.
Nice.
Looking for 17 more in the next 50 minutes. We can absolutely meet that goal with your help. WPR is listener powered. That's why your gift right now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552 is so important.
And choose one of the food bank gifts when you give $10 or $20 a month. Alliant Energy is partnering with us. They'll match every dollar raised through the food bank thank you gift up to $5,000 worth. Ask for yours at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
If you're already a sustaining member, thank you so much. Maybe consider today as a day to increase your support of WPR by $5 or $10 a month, whatever amount you choose. I think I did that the last drive or maybe the drive before that. You can do that right now. Simple, easy at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Dan from Madison says, our world needs balanced opinions and objective news more than ever, and I can't think of a single source for that better than WPR. And Jane in Honey Creek says, I want open, honest communication and dialogue to flourish, and Wisconsin Public Radio is its media voice. Thanks, Dan. Thanks, Jane, for listening and for giving. Now let them inspire you to make your own gift right now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And we also heard from Taylor in Diamond Bluff, who said Central Time is a class act. It's just one of the many reasons I give to Wisconsin Public Radio. What are the reasons that you give to Wisconsin Public Radio? Maybe it's Central Time. Maybe it's Larry Mueller Show. Maybe it's some of the national programs or some of the entertainment programs. Whatever the reason is that you tune into WPR day after day, week after week, make a gift to support that now. WPR.org. or 888-202-2552. And thank you so much.
This is Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret. There's a lot to love about the Great Lakes, the beauty, the fish and wildlife, the history, and there are also threats to ecosystems like invasive species and microplastic pollution. Our next guest uses her art to explore all of that. Her series of artist books uses items found on Great Lakes beaches, and her videos showcasing her art and history about the lakes have racked up millions of views on social media. Geo Rutherford is an artist and an art teacher living in Madison. She's pursuing her master's in fine arts at UW-Milwaukee. Geo, thanks a lot for joining us today.
Thank you for having me.
Well, from your art, I'm going to guess you feel a pretty strong connection to the Great Lakes. Where did that first come from?
Well, I'm one of those people that actually replanted myself here in the Midwest, and the absolute shock at how majestic and giant the Great Lakes was my first emotion with the Great Lakes, because I moved here from Colorado, and that's where it really started, just kind of a fascination with this body of water that was inconceivably large for me.
What led you to want to tackle it, not just as somebody standing by the water and enjoying it, but as an artist?
Well, as my program wants me to do work for art, I also am the daughter of a scientist. And so when I moved to Milwaukee and started my master's of fine arts, I decided that my focus should be on something that matters to the people here and matters to me. So I started to do research on the Great Lakes, and that's what led me down this path. So I actually, 2 years ago, didn't actually know that much about the Great Lakes. But since I started this journey, I feel like I have a much better understanding of what's going on environmentally with the Great Lakes and their health and wellness.
Talk us through now your Beaches of the Great Lakes series of artist books. And people might hear the word book and think of a certain image, and it might not look like your books. Can you tell us what goes into them?
Yeah, this book definitely challenges your expectations of books, but that's what a lot of artist books are striving to do. There are tons of artist books that are your traditional book where you open it, you turn pages, but there's also a lot of artist books that are trying to challenge and ask the question, what is a book and how far can we push that definition? And this book was born from that challenge. And then it turned into something else. And I've been really impressed with how it bridges the gap between art people and everyday people who love the lakes. Anyone who encounters this book can appreciate what it's about. When you first open it, it looks like a box. It's kind of a rectangular box that fits in the palm of my hand. And I pull the lid off and you encounter a rack of test tube tops. So they're bright orange and you can't see what's inside of them. So there's a certain mystery right off the bat. But as you lift each tube out of the box, you encounter the material inside of the tube and you read the label, you will better realize how special these books are, how special the lakes and the beaches are. So each tube contains material found on the beaches, both natural material and man-made material that has ended up on our shores.
Can you give us a sense of the range of those materials, natural and, as you say, man-made?
So you'll find things like driftwood and zebra mussels, which is an invasive species. You'll find reeds or dune grass. You'll find things that we expect on beaches. I even have a tube that's full of sand because that's what we find on the beaches. I find a lot of different kinds of rocks and stones. There's even Petoskey and crinoid fossils that I find right here in Milwaukee on the beaches. But then there's also things like nurdles, and which is a kind of industrial pellet that they use to melt down to make other plastic. There's tons of those on the beaches. There's tons of barrettes on the beaches, like plastic, goofy barrettes. I find tons of them. Those little smoking applicators, I find tons of those. There's so many things that I find a lot of that probably shouldn't be on the beaches, but they are. And I include those in the books so that you recognize what the beaches are kind of collecting as a remnant of human population right by the shore.
You have found a lot of exposure on social media, TikTok, and elsewhere, where you've gotten millions of views for videos of these books. Did you expect this to get such a response online?
No, not at all. I enjoy TikTok as an artist and a teacher. I'm kind of fascinated with the potential for that platform. And as a teacher and educator, I love using it to teach things quickly, efficiently, that people leave with something that they didn't start with. But I started on the app teaching about artist books and teaching about this book in particular. And I've been shocked at how many people have enjoyed it, have enjoyed the watching the process of making it, because it took me about 3 months this summer to make 10 of them, to collect enough material for 10 books, to make them all from book board and book cloth and from printmaking materials. So people have really watched my journey in the last 3 months. And it's been such a magical experience to be able to share that and kind of give people exposure not only to artist books, but to Great Lakes education through this book.
And do you think partly that speaks to a kind of a shared love for our great waterways like the Great Lakes?
I was so shocked at how many people feel the same way that I do about the lakes. The lakes are so special, and I think that's why this book accesses so many different people. Everybody loves the lakes. Everybody has a relationship with the lakes, especially here in the Midwest, where it's in our backyard and it's so special, and we don't want to take advantage of it, but we do almost by accident, and that's just so sad. So I'm really happy that people love the lakes the way I do, and they've appreciated them through this book and through my content on TikTok.
Gio, thanks so much for joining us today.
Yeah, no problem. Thank you for having me.
Gio Rutherford is an artist living in Madison and teaching there too, pursuing her master's in fine arts at UW-Milwaukee. She talked to us about her artist books that use things found on Great Lakes beaches to showcase their ecosystems. Coming up, the Secretary of Workforce Development handed in his resignation following months of unemployment claims remaining unfilled here in the state. We'll talk to a reporter to learn more coming up on Central Time. This is Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret. Today, Governor Evers extended his administration's statewide mask mandate in an effort to slow the spread of COVID-19 in the state. There are more than 100,000 cumulative cases of the virus here in Wisconsin. This comes on the heels of other coronavirus-related shakeups in the Evers administration. Last week, Governor Evers asked for and received the resignation of now former Secretary of Workforce Development Caleb Frostman, citing the months-long backlog to fill unemployment claims during the ongoing COVID-19 pandemic. Our next guest joins us to talk about both of those stories. Laurel White is state capitol reporter for Wisconsin Public Radio News. Laurel, welcome back.
Thanks so much for having me, Rob.
A lot going on, Laurel. Let's dive in. The mask mandate extended. What is going on?
So the previous mask mandate that the governor issued in July was set to expire on Monday. So it looks like he wanted to get a jump on that and not let that happen. He issued the new one today, and it's going to be in effect for 60 days, which is the maximum amount of time that one of these orders can be in place in Wisconsin. So the new order is set to expire on November 21st. If nothing happens in the meantime, and that could be another intervening order or legal action.
And this comes as Wisconsin is showing up on national websites now for states seeing big increases in COVID-19 positive tests. What did Governor Evers say about why he's extending this?
He said that we've entered a new phase in the COVID-19 pandemic in Wisconsin. He cited, you know, the recent record-setting days that we've had in Wisconsin. We know that we hit new all-time highs for daily cases on 2 days last week, on Thursday and Friday. He pointed to the prevalence of the virus in 71 out of the state's 72 counties, according to metrics that the state uses in terms of kind of volume of cases over time. And he talked about, you know, how schools and universities across the state have gone to in-person teaching in some instances, and how that has kind of changed the landscape for COVID-19 in Wisconsin.
What's been the response from Republican lawmakers to the latest order?
Well, they haven't been happy about it, to say the least. This is something that, you know, they've been opposed to for a while. They weren't thrilled with the last mask mandate that the governor put out in July. So this is several months in the making, obviously. Both Senate Majority Leader Scott Fitzgerald and Assembly Speaker Robin Voss put out really harsh statements today. They said that they believe the governor's order is illegal, that it's stepping outside the bounds of, you know, law, basically. And Senator Fitzgerald actually said he believed that the mask mandate wasn't worth the paper that it was printed on. I think it's important to note, though, that neither of the leaders said that the legislature was going to convene to override the order, which is something that they can do. So that's an important distinction. You know, they're decrying this, they're saying they don't agree with it, they think it's illegal, but they're not taking that step to override it.
Any talk of court challenges?
We already have one court challenge Monday. That was from the Wisconsin Institute for Law and Liberty. And their legal argument was, not super direct. I think it wasn't directly related to the mask mandate. It was related to the public health emergency that the governor declared that allows him to issue orders like this. Essentially, their argument in the lawsuit is saying that they don't believe the governor can issue multiple public health emergencies related to the same issue. So he put forward a COVID-19 public health emergency in March. He did another one for the first mask mandate, and now he's done a third one for this new mask mandate. So we're still waiting on a word from Will about how this affects, this new order affects the previous lawsuit for the previous mandate, if they're going to be able to kind of apply things to the new one or if it's going to require a new lawsuit. But a spokesperson for the agency said that they're looking into it, their lawyers are reviewing it, and they're going to let us know soon.
Turning to the story of the former Secretary of Workforce Development, Caleb Frostman, Governor Evers asked for and received his resignation. Why?
This is something that's been in the news a lot since the beginning of the COVID-19 pandemic, and it's the State Department of Workforce Development and the challenges that they've had with fulfilling unemployment insurance claims in Wisconsin. Since the beginning of the pandemic, the department has talked about staffing challenges. They've talked about challenges with technology, and those various limitations that they've pointed out have led to a backlog in the number of people that are getting the money that they depend on when they're out of work during the pandemic. So there's been this discussion between the Evers administration, between lawmakers and other stakeholders about how the administration has been handling it. And essentially what Governor Evers said when he asked Secretary Frostman to resign and receive that resignation was that he thought it was necessary at this point to have a change in leadership because he wasn't seeing the progress that he wanted to see in addressing the backlog.
So what happens next with workforce development in this effort to catch up on unemployment compensation?
So they're going to have new leadership at the top. Deputy Secretary within the Department of Corrections is going to be stepping into the leadership role at DWD in an interim capacity until the governor, nominates someone to become a permanent replacement for Secretary Frostman. This is a Senate-confirmed position, of course, so whoever he nominates is going to have to go through that Senate process. And we're just going to see how they kind of go about addressing this in a different way. We know Secretary Frostman said that under his leadership, they worked to expand staffing at DWD. They brought in several hundred new people to handle claims from the middle of March until now. They've continually done that through transfers and hiring private contractors and hiring new folks. They've also extended call center hours to make, the window wider for people to contact the state about claims. So it's going to be interesting to see if the new leadership at DWD kind of continues in the same vein or if they've got some new ideas.
Laurel, thanks for joining us again.
Absolutely. My pleasure.
Laurel White is state capitol reporter for WPR News. She joined us to talk about now former Department of Workforce Development Secretary Caleb Frostman's resignation over unemployment claim backlogs and about the extension of Governor Evers' statewide mask mandate. Coming up after the news, we'll learn about a Menominee Reservation community rebuilding organization that's building tiny homes. First, it's Wisconsin Public Radio's Fall Membership Drive. Judith Sears-Poisson joins me. Your gift makes a huge difference because listeners are the largest source of funding for all WPR programs. Step up now and be counted as a supporter with your gift right now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
We've got about 33 minutes left in this hour, and we are looking for 14 more gifts to make our goal. Your gift right now is so important because when you give, you support the programs you rely on every day.
Thank you so much if you've already given. If you haven't, the time is now. Give at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
You know, we are so lucky to have the WPR News Department to call on to bring us up to date on developing and emerging topics. Laura White, our state capitol reporter, talking about two different things, talking about the extension of the mask mandate statewide and also the request for and subsequent
resignation.
Resignation, thank you, Rob, of the Department of Workforce Development Secretary. These are the kind of important and informative conversations that we have here on Central Time every day.
WPR is listener supported. That means that your donation makes the many topics you tune in for every day possible. Choose an amount that works for you, then give at WPR.org. Or 888-202-2552.
You know, it's an election year, and coverage on Wisconsin Public Radio keeps you informed of all the latest developments each and every step of the way.
We take you beyond the sound bites to hear from a wide range of perspectives on the issues. This kind of in-depth news is expensive. It's only possible with listener support. Cast your vote for Wisconsin Public Radio with your gift at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
You know, one of the best ways to show your support for WPR is to become a sustaining member. If you're not a sustainer yet, think of becoming one right now. It's easy to set up the monthly donations from your bank account or credit card at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. You'll provide ongoing support for the programs you love, like Central Time, and you'll automatically get entered in all of the drawings we have during member drives.
Samantha from Appleton says, my first college roommate introduced me to Central Time, and I've been hooked ever since. WPR is an absolute gem. Thank you so much, Samantha. I know we're blaring, I think, in every dorm room, really. I don't know about that. But I'm glad you got introduced, Samantha. I'm glad you've stuck with us, and I'm glad you're listening and a member of Wisconsin Public Radio now with your contribution. How about you? However you started listening, however long you've been listening, know that you can make a difference. You can help make it happen. Join the team with your gift at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. And thank you so much for your support. Central Time, I'm Rob Ferret. Coming up, a Menominee Rebuilders organization is working on solutions for safe and stable housing for community members who are in crisis. We'll talk to a couple of the organizers. First, it's the Wisconsin Public Radio Fall Membership Drive. Judith Sears-Poisson joins me. You rely on the Ideas Network for informative, interesting conversations. We count on you to keep programs like this one going strong.
Listener support is the largest source of funding for WPR programs. That's why your gift of any amount right now makes an important difference. You can do that right now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Got off to a good start this hour. We've slowed down a little, still looking for 14 more gifts to hit our goal by the end of this hour. We can do it with your help. Thank you so much if you've already given.
And if you haven't, go ahead and give now. It feels great, and it's one less thing you have to keep track of and make sure that you do at some other point. Go to WPR.org or 888-202-2552. Your gift directly funds the programs you enjoy, like Central Time.
There are lots of places to go for headlines and sound bites and things in tweet format. Where do you go, though, for more in-depth discussion?
You come right here to the Ideas Network. Here, you don't just get a 20-second clip or a few minutes of back and forth. You get plenty of time to develop ideas and ask questions. WPR is a great source of in-depth information, and we try to bring those in-depth conversations to you every day here on Central Time. Your support right now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552 makes it all possible.
Think about what you spend money on every day, coffee, takeout maybe. It does add up. It's easy to spend on the things that are part of your routine.
And I'm betting that Wisconsin Public Radio is part of your routine too. It's your news source, your conversation starter, your place to learn, your place to laugh. So spend some money on it today. Maybe start with a dollar a day. That comes out to $30 a month at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Today, let the impact of your gift go beyond the WPR programs that you love. Alliant Energy is partnering with us to provide hunger relief here in Wisconsin. They'll match every dollar raised through food bank thank you gifts up to $5,000. Ask for yours today when you give $10 or $20 a month. Thank you for making a difference for your neighbors and WPR programs with your gift now. Here's how.
You can do that at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. It's Central Time. Rob Ferret here with Judith Sears Poisson. Your support during this fall member drive makes the WPR programs you rely on possible. Your gift of $10 or $20 a month, whatever amount you choose, is the right amount to give.
And even better, giving to WPR is easy. Sometimes it seems like not many things are easy these days, but this is easy. All we need is your name, contact information, how much you've decided to give, and how you'd like to pay.
It takes just a few minutes to make your contribution to Wisconsin Public Radio, and those few minutes fund your daily listening. Your support right now really does make a difference at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Your gift right now says a lot of things. It says, I value this program. I want more of it. It makes me think. It makes me laugh. You fill in the blank with how you feel when you listen to Central Time. Those are powerful feelings, and you make a powerful statement when you support what you value and what you believe in. Give now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Making some progress just since we started talking, Judith. Now we need just 12 gifts to reach our goal by the end of the hour. We can do that. Keep it coming. Your gift today at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. Make sure there's a great future for Central Time and all the other programs you rely on.
And an even better additional reason to give right now is that you can choose one of the food bank gifts when you give $10 or $20 a month. Alliant Energy is partnering with us, and they'll match every dollar raised through the food bank thank you gift up to $5,000. You can ask for yours at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Now is a great time to become a sustaining member. It's easy to set up convenient, ongoing monthly donations from your bank account or credit card. Get it started at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Alyssa in Cedarburg says, I really feel engaging with Central Time's reporting on Wisconsin issues is part of being a responsible citizen of our state. And Jimmy in Monona says, I hope you all know how much we all appreciate everything you do to make great programming happen. Well, Alyssa, Jimmy, that just means the world to us. Thank you so much for taking the time to tell us and for making your gifts.
It goes both ways. We appreciate everything you do to make this programming happen. We appreciate that you're out there listening and that you maybe tell your friends and family members about it and help spread the word. And we appreciate that you appreciate us so much and the work we do that you are willing to voluntarily help pay for it. That is just so fantastic. Thank you so much if you've already given this drive or in the past. If not, how about doing it right now? Make your very important gift at WPR.org or call 888-202-2552. And thank you so much for your support. You're listening to Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret. Now, on the Menominee Reservation, community organizers are hoping that tiny homes can have a big impact. The group Menikonikum, or Menominee Rebuilders, aims to help community members who are struggling by providing safe and stable housing while they get the help they need. Aniquet is the executive director of Menominee Rebuilders. He's a traditional Menominee who lives on the Menominee Reservation. Aniquet, thanks a lot for joining us today.
Yeah, most welcome.
And Kristen Welch of the Menominee Nation is with us. She's lead organizer for the Menominee Rebuilders Women's Leadership Cohort for Murdered and Missing Indigenous Women. Kristen, welcome to Central Time.
Poso, thank you for having me.
Aniquet, can you start off by telling us a little bit about this Tiny Homes project?
Yeah, I think, the Tiny Home Project began many years ago on here on the reservation. We've always kind of had the idea of how our community has been struggling with housing. We have 9,000 enrolled members, about 3,000 live here on the reservation. So we've kicked around ideas for a long time, thinking about how we could approach that. When I started to do some work on doing some community organizing, I did some one-on-ones with a lot of our elders, a lot of our older community members, and they really painted a beautiful picture of home ownership and what our community used to look like when everybody owned their own homes. And it was something that was like, you know, old, but I was something new I heard, and we thought, man, we got to do something. So the tiny homes was always a big part of that. And we also wanted to reimagine and dream a little bit about what our communities could look like if we were never contacted by Europeans. So we wanted to put our tiny home village together in that sort of mind frame.
And before we dig into what the village will look like, Kristen, can you tell us a little bit about who these homes are intended to provide a home for?
Sure. We wanted to make sure that who was able to come into those homes was open to as many of our community members as possible. So we didn't put a whole lot of restriction on it, just that you had to be looking towards that place of healing or recovery. And that can be anyone from our domestic violence and sexual assault survivors to those transitioning out of detention. A lot of people need emergency housing, especially with COVID. And we do have a lot of young people that transition from home to home in need of spaces too. So we wanted to make sure that it was able to serve anyone in need of a safe place to stay.
Anaquette, can you paint us a picture of what one of these homes will look like?
Well, I mean, there's a couple different ideas going around. I don't think we've necessarily settled on a design yet, but we wanted something to mirror our traditional homes that we used to live in, you know, hundreds of years ago. There's a couple different styles that we thought. The wigwam, of course, was a style that came right up to the top. But also we wanted to focus a little bit on our medicine lodge, which is a little bit longer of a lodge. It's almost like a longhouse, if that makes any sense to people. We wanted to do something like that. So we obviously recognized right away that people that be living in our homes are going to be, you know, have family, have children, have other people with them, and they're most likely not going to be single residents, although there are some.
And Kristen, that sounds like, from what Anaquette was saying, you know, we've seen tiny houses in cities that look like smaller versions of city houses. This sounds like a project that's trying to make it, I guess, fit in culturally. Is that right?
Yeah, and I would say not even make it fit, but be founded. Like, that's the foundation of what the house looks like, what the community members who stay in the houses have access to. The whole process is really decolonizing the way that we look at housing and how we support our community members.
Anaquette, can you talk a little more about that, how this isn't just a structure, but I guess a connection to the community?
Well, you know, if you got time, I have about a 3-hour story to tell. But this actually is very much that. It comes from, you know, thousands of years ago when that original structure was given to us. So it has a beautiful story. It talks about us as a people, talks about, you know, our culture, our language. It has all those things within it, and it's very deeply connected to who we are and to our identity as Menominees. So we wanted to definitely have that as the foundation in which we started to build.
And Kristen, I've heard of the idea of kind of an intergenerational trauma being something that First Nations and Native communities are dealing with. That is this one maybe small piece of trying to heal that?
Yeah, and I think it recognizes not just the intergenerational trauma, but the intergenerational resilience of our community members, and that being the foundation of how we move and heal and build structure and community again. So it's pulling those strengths back and bringing them to this present time.
We're talking to Kristen Welch and Anaquette, both with the Menominee Nation, talking about a rebuilding program aiming to provide small houses on the reservation and community connections along the way. Anaquette, on a practical level, where are you now, and what's going to take to get from where you are to having some of these houses up and ready to roll?
Yeah, so we have one built right now. We do have a resident in that building right now. This first one was kind of just a test run for us to see what kind of materials it would take, how much it would cost, and how quickly we could put something together. But we have gotten a grant to build a couple more. So we're planning right now on thinking how that's going to look during this COVID time and how we can get that done. But the second homes are definitely going to have a little bit more planning and a lot more cultural thought behind it compared to the first one. So we've always are looking, hopefully this COVID, we can find ways to work around it and get our community more involved. But at this point, it's probably going to be a lot smaller of building and constructing.
And Kristen, what kind of response have you gotten from your community?
I think there's a lot of hope around it. I know that we have family members that are engaged in MMIW that are really supporting the idea. We also have a lot of agencies that have helped to kind of construct the idea of what the tiny homes look like and bringing it together. So there's definitely community support there. And we even have some community members that are doing personal fundraising to help build more homes.
Yeah, Anaquette, I saw on the website you are doing some fundraising outreach to get this going. What kind of things are happening?
Yeah, so last year we came up with an idea to do a fun run walk around our property. We have like an 80-acre farm located on the Menominee Indian Reservation. So this year, because of course, the time in which we're in, we couldn't have a big group of people running around. So we did something digitally where people would be able to like clock in their time and post to our Facebook page and track the miles that they put on. And I think, just being as a nonprofit, we're always looking for donations.
And Kristen, you mentioned not enough room for all the people of the Menominee Nation to live there. Is it your hope that this is going to give more people the option to live in the community?
Yeah, of course. We wanted to expand. I know the dream was that, we would have multiple pods of these tiny homes out at Minneconicum, but that even that vision could grow into something like bigger actual housing within our community. That's sustainable and developed by the community.
And Anaquette, is there a hope that, the residents then who move into these houses are going to be part of, I guess, the future of the project and pass on to the next round of people who move in?
Yeah, we're hoping that they, get what it is they're looking for and that they're inspired to invest back in our community. And I think, the biggest thing that we're trying to do is to instill some hope, belonging, meaning, and purpose. Hopefully that these residents will be able to grab that and carry that forward into the future.
Well, looking forward maybe a year or so, Kristen, what is your hope for where this project is at by that point?
Well, we definitely hope to see some of the tiny home residents have graduated from the transitional living space and, like Anaquette said, have now come back as mentors in the program. And they're able to help that next generation of tiny home residents through the process, but that they can expand that out into the community work as well.
We'll leave it there. Thank you so much for sharing this with us. Kristen, thanks for joining us.
Thank you.
And Anaquette, thank you so much for being with us.
Yeah, why not?
We've been talking to Kristen Welch and Anaquette from Minneconicum Menominee Rebuilders Project, building small homes for people to provide safe and stable housing to community members of the Menominee Nation. Now, Judith Sears-Poisson joins me for our fall membership drive. We're here to raise the money that pays for the programs you enjoy, like Central Time. Support from people like you is the biggest piece of funding for WPR programs. That's why your support at WPR.org or 888-202-2552 is so important.
And we have about 6 minutes left in this hour and 9 gifts to go. I bet there are at least 9 of you listening right now who haven't quite made a gift yet. This is the time to do it because your gift supports the programs you enjoy and rely on being able to listen to each and every day.
WPR programs are listener powered. That means your donation right now really does make a difference. Do it at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
In that last conversation, we learned about a really inspiring and creative solution to an issue of housing insecurity for people of the Menominee Nation here in Wisconsin, how they have gotten this program going, what their hopes are for it, and how it could be applied in other communities. This is the kind of conversation that we bring to you every day that is inspiring and thought-provoking and can actually help spread solutions to problems that people in many different communities might be dealing with. You can count on this every day from Central Time.
WPR is listener supported, and that means that your donation makes these kind of conversations possible. Choose an amount that works for you and then give at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Giving to support WPR is wonderful. And this drive, you can also provide hunger relief right in your own area. You can ask for one of the food bank thank you gifts. And those are options that are available at the $10 or $20 a month level.
Join in today. Alliant Energy is partnering with us. They'll match every meal given through the food bank thank you gifts up to 15,000 meals. Increase your impact with your gift right now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
My name is Sarah, and I live in Madison, Wisconsin. I would tell a friend that they should join in listening to Wisconsin Public Radio because it's one of the coolest sources of interesting news and stories and happenings of the day. If I get those news segments during my time listening to public radio in the car, I have a pretty informed sense of what's going on in the world that day and can feel like an informed, ready-to-go citizen.
We're listener-supported radio. That means we count on money from people like you, people who rely on WPR to bring them something special every day. Go to WPR.org and click donate.
You can do that at WPR.org or make a quick call at 888-202-2552 to make your donation in support of the programs you count on. It's Central Time. Rob Ferret here with Judith Sears-Poisson. Your support today of WPR keeps all the programs you enjoy going strong. Whether you give $10 a month or $100 a month, we appreciate and we do count on your gift.
I'm betting that you are like Sarah, who we just heard from, that you love WPR because it's your source for intelligent radio. And there are costs associated with that quality. That's where you come in. Your support is so important.
Making a gift is quick and it's easy. You'll be finished in no time at all. Your contribution at any amount, say $10 or $20 a month at WPR.org or 888-202-2552, makes Wisconsin Public Radio possible.
And if you ask a WPR member why they give, they'll probably tell you it just feels better to listen to WPR when you do give. It feels good to know that you're part, an important part, of making something special happen.
So make your first ever gift, say, of $10 or $20 a month, and enjoy the excitement of supporting your Wisconsin Public Radio. It starts with your donation at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Okay, we've got some momentum going here. We have 3 minutes left, and we are looking for five more gifts to make our goal. You make WPR possible when you give, and you can do that right now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Added bonus here for supporting the programs you love. You could win $1,000 to spend on bikes and cycling gear at Wheel and Sprocket. Get entered by giving now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. Sustainers, if you're already making ongoing monthly gifts, you are automatically entered.
And maybe you're not a sustainer yet, but you're thinking, wow, that seems like a good thing to be. I want to make sure I'm in all these drawings and I want to support WPR on a monthly basis. Well, good news. You're in luck. You can become one right now. It's easy to set up the monthly donations from either your bank account or a credit card at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Ellen in Kenosha says, WPR keeps me sane, keeps me engaged, and sometimes gives me hope. Thank you. And Tammy Joe from Ellison Bay says, you are on the front lines in my pushback against despair because you give me news and information I can trust. Glad to be there for both of you, Ellen and Tammy Joe, and thank you so much for giving. How about you? Do you count on us for information, for comfort, for entertainment, for connection? We count on you to help pay for it. Make your gift right now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
you must really love Central Time because you are still listening, even when it's just Rob and me going blah, blah, blah. So if you love Central Time, if you count on the conversations that we bring, conversations about the news, but also conversations about really cool, innovative projects like we just heard about the small houses for the Menominee Nation, show your support for that variety, for that range of topics. Your gift is powerful. It really does make a difference. Give at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Thank you so much for giving. We really do count on you. It really does make a difference. WPR.org or 888-202-2552. Thank you so much for supporting Wisconsin Public Radio.